So we'll get the hearing underway. We're now back to hearing submissions on the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan. And before I turn to submitters, Mr. McCallum Clark, anything to report from the 4218?
Only that there is a memo from that's been prepared by Philip Moore, the solicitor for the council, about the physiographic zones, which I understand you have been provided with a copy of that.
Yes, we have that, thank you.
Nothing else.
All right. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, if at any stage during the hearing you can't hear either us or the submitters, just raise your hand and say you can't hear, and we'll try and speak up for you, okay? And you're welcome to come forward, submitters. You don't all need to sit in the back rows. These front seats are pretty comfy.
Presbyterian.
Scary bunch.
Yeah, very intimidating panel. So, right, we turn over to the submitters now. The first submitter we're hearing from is Paul and Linda Clement, which I assume is you. Welcome and good morning. And you don't have to stand up. And I'll just say to you both and to all the other submitters, we've read the original submissions, so thank you very much for putting those in. You don't need to reread those out to us, which you're probably pleased about. But and if you've pre-circulated any material, any evidence, or photos, or PowerPoints, or videos, we've also looked at those. So that's been helpful. And you're all very welcome to speak to your submissions, though, and outline what you think are the key points you'd like us to take home. And then we'll probably have questions for you, but we'll let you present to us first, and then we'll run through any questions we have.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're Paul and Linda Clement. We should be the resort to these. The lighting's pretty poor. We've been farming at Freshford, which is between Riversdale and Waikoa, for 22 years. We milk approximately 500 cows on a fully self-contained dairy farm of 277 hectares with about 4 kilometres of river boundary, which is the Waikoa River. We want clean rivers, we drink the water from it, we swim in it, and we live beside it, so we have no desire to destroy it. Our main issue with the water and land plan is the physiographic zones, which describe our farm as partially riverina, and the terrace is Old Matera. Now, the Old Matera is defined as well-drained, stony, and highly weathered soils, which is a complete opposite to our terrace, which is fairly wet, and there's hundreds of metres of overflow to drain those terraces. Now, after 22 years of farming, our well, which is just below the terrace, which is about probably 40 metres from it, our nitrate readings are consistently below 2, probably, we've got them here, but and the 6 tests, only 2 were above 1. So that's, we think, is not an issue.
Yeah.
So we are challenging the zoning of our land, and consequently we question the science behind the zones. And we feel the best way to protect our rivers and waterways is for Environment Councils to work with farmers as a team and not setting them up as the enemy. To do this, as farmers, we need trust and faith in the Environment Councils and its methods, and the Water and Land Plan does not do this. When we see the physiographical zones are incorrect, we wonder if this Water and Land Plan has been designed to protect the environment or to appease the anti-farming media. And farmers have made mistakes over the years, mistakes they've only been made aware of in the last probably 10 or so years. We didn't realise we were causing so many problems. But we've shown we've been willing to work and spend money to remedy these problems. We've fenced off waterways, we've done all sorts of things to fix these problems. And most of the problems caused by farming can be remedied by small adjustments and practice and new technology. We don't feel there's any need to reinvent the wheel. While environmental groups have been focusing solely on farming, fishermen abroad in Didymo and tourists abroad in Guardia, and both of these are here for good, in our opinion, have caused far more permanent damage than any farming practices. So basically, that's what we wanted to say. And because we've got 4 kilometres of river on our place, we have a lot of contact with fishermen. And we've become friends with a lot of them. And we've got a friend who's been coming to New Zealand since the 1980s. And he hasn't seen any problems, basically. he says the odd issue at times, but nothing that's, you know, been to create all this sort of work issues. So that's basically what we want to say. So.
Okay. And Linda, is it, did you want to add anything?
No, I think Paul's covered it pretty well.
Okay. We'll see if we have questions for you, Lord. We'll start at your end of the table.
No, I think you made your points clear, and we've heard similar things in other submitters, so I'm happy with what you've stated. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, no, good submission. But of the river boundary, you said 4K with the Waikai River, so that's fenced off, and what sort of setback have you got for that?
We've got, it's fenced off, various places it's probably, you know, 5 metres, other places it's probably 30, and we've got parts of it, we've got the major fence is probably 40 or 50 metres from the river, and we've got another single wire by the river. Most of the fishermen who come to our place, their biggest complaint is they can't get to the river.
Because of weeds?
Yeah, little bone grass, weeds, and yeah. So those are the, like everything we do has a consequence, so there's pluses and minuses to everything, so. Yeah. But yeah, it's, yes, it's all fenced off. Years ago, we were the neighbour fenced it up before us, and all the fishermen came to our side. And they used to say, oh, he's done a great job, he's fenced it off. And we'd kind of say, well, why are you over here? Is that because you can't get to it? And they'd say, yes. And so we'd say, I know it's not perfect, we haven't fenced it off, but the dairy cows are there for 12 hours and they're gone. They're not there all the time. And I'd say, which one you're soon having your trap? Taught on, graze on, answer, or a little bit of cash. So you know, there is consequences for everything we do. So.
Right.
Thank you.
Good morning. No, I think it's very clear. The Waikaia is one boundary. It's on the western boundaries.
Yes,
you don't go across it.
It's basically hill behind us and that terrace. Yeah.
Right. In terms of your effluent pond, and you were concerned about the drop test.
Mm-hmm.
You've put in a new pond.
Yep.
With an inspection chamber.
Inspection chamber, yes.
So how does that work?
Basically, it's got an overflow underneath the liner. It all feeds back to one point, and there's a chamber there which you can visually check, and if there's any leakage, it all goes down into that point. So you can check it, and it's, whether it's green or got any effluent in it or that sort of thing. So we don't feel if you've got a new modern pond, that with those sort of things, so you need to add to your cost of what we do already.
So it's working well?
So yeah, yep. You basically, it's all upgraded. We've got safety devices and all those sort of things.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yes, you talk about working with Environment Southland to develop good management practices, and the Appendix M offers the Farm Environment Plan. So can you elaborate a little bit on how you think that would best work?
The Environment Southland?
Working with Environment Southland to solve any problems that might occur.
Well, basically, we feel we aren't causing any problems going by our test and our nitrate. And we feel there are lots of areas who don't have problems, and we feel that the best way probably from Environment Southland to fix these problems is if there's any areas with major issues, discuss it with the farmers in the area, work out a plan with them. And we're all happy to have, you know, 3 metres back from the river for our crops and those sort of things, sediment traps in our drainage for when we do hill country. Those make sense. If it makes sense, we're happy to do it. So, and as farmers with Frontier, we already have nutrient budgets we have to do, which are already presented to them. And we get inspected by Environment Southland every year for effluent system. But the only, from the Frontier rep, who's probably tougher than Environment Southland, they've actually walked their whole farm, the river, every drain, every culvert, they've checked the whole lot. So, you know, we've actually, up to a certain standard. So basically, Environment Southland's probably third on the list because my wife is first, as to have what we're doing, then Frontier, and then you guys, so.
It's a very wise hierarchy.
Yeah.
and in saying that, can I just add that I think it's also important that farmers have a good relationship with members of Environment South, and we have a good relationship with Kevin Marshall. You know, he comes out, we talk to him, but we've always said to Kevin, you know, he's been coming for years, we say, if you see anything, if we're doing anything, you know, we don't want to do anything that's going to impact on the river or, you know, the land. You know, if you see anything, come and tell us, let us know so that we can do something about it. And I think it's important to have a relationship like that with someone from the Environment Council instead of just feeling like it's them and us, you know, like you're against, like Environment Southland is against farmers. It shouldn't be like that. You know, we're on the land, we should be working together, not going separate paths the way we are.
We did actually create a water area which with old willows, we pulled them out and we planted it in plants.
More wetland area.
Yeah, and I wasn't keen to ring a the regional council because we thought this could open a whole can of worms, you could be in trouble for various things, but Linda said we should, and they came out and we were quite impressed. So, you know, we thought, because we have heard stories, people have come out in various areas and they've checked things, but they've gone back and got in trouble because they did something over here and been reported for that. So, but we had a good discussion with them and it was quite, you know, they were quite happy.
So that was the land sustainability.
It was, yeah. They had some good ideas. We wanted to put some culverts in. We thought, well, you're supposed to have a consent for a culvert, you're supposed to do this. And he said, yeah, put as many as you like. They're like a sediment trap. I said, oh, this is good. So, you know.
So working with Environment Southland is a much better way of achieving what we all want, which is lands and water sustainability. So.
If it makes sense, we're happy to do it, whereas some of this doesn't make sense.
Okay, thanks.
Just one further question from me. Rule 23, the winter grazing rule, you suggest in your submission that instead of having a hectare threshold, either 20 or 50 hectares, you suggest a percentage. Did you have a percentage in mind?
Not really, because that would vary with where you are. But we've got some big run farmers behind us. You know, they've got I think about 4,000 acres, and they can only put in 50 hectares, someone's going to starve. So, to me, it's got to make sense. And if they do good practice with their crops, that is more important than the amount of area you've got.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
We think that is more the issue.
Okay, good. Well, thanks very much for coming in and making your points very clearly known to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.